mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, sure, you could get Dad a new tie or a fun tech gadget, but the one gift he really wants this Father's Day is something you can't buy in any store. Also this morning, don't take a wrong turn on your next summer road trip. We have what travelers need to know to get there safe and sound while avoiding the potholes of travel along the way. And another collection of recipes, especially for Dad, from Kyra's Kitchen. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, June 13th, 2025. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, Ohio high school sports fans may have already heard this, but several significant changes to the OHSAA football playoffs are coming next year. These are changes that were approved yesterday by the OHSAA Board of Directors. The number of qualifiers per region will fall to 12 instead of 16. You remember, it used to be 8, and then back in, well, in 2020, everybody got in. It was pandemic year, and they changed things around and let everybody in, and there was actually some positive feedback from that. So then in 2021, they went from 8 qualifiers per region to 16, and over the past several years, people kind of come to realize that maybe that wasn't the best idea. There were a lot of blowouts in that first round and, you know, number one seeds playing number 16 seeds. And yeah, it got ugly in some cases. So they're trimming that back to 12. And that means the top four seeds in each region will get a first round bye. So the entire football season remains 16 weeks in total, but the top four seeds get a bye week in the first round of the playoffs, and the first three rounds of the football playoffs will now be hosted by the higher seeded team, whereas before it was the first two rounds. So there was a time when every playoff game was, and it wasn't that long ago, where every playoff game was at a neutral site. And then for a while, it was the first round, the home team or the better seeded team got to host. And then when they expanded, it was the first two rounds. And now the first three rounds will be hosted at the school of the higher seeded team. So some significant changes that I think a lot of people will really a lot of people think that's a good idea. So changes coming to the high school football playoffs this fall. Speaking of sports of sorts, this is big news. The world's most famous competitive eating champion could be returning to the world's most famous hot dog eating contest. That's right. Joey Chestnut is said to be in talks to return to the 4th of July competition on Coney Island. You remember he was banned last year because of a sponsorship issue. what a world we live in when competitive eaters have sponsorship deals. But apparently there was a conflict between Nathan's that sponsors the 4th of July hot dog eating contest at Coney Island and whoever it is that sponsored Joey Chestnut. He wasn't allowed to compete last year, and so he is in negotiations to return to the competition that made him famous. He has won the hot dog eating contest, the Nathan's 4th of July hot dog eating contest 16 times, and he holds the record of 76 dogs set back in 2021. So this is a big deal for those who are into the competitive eating scene. Let's see what else is going on among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. This is kind of interesting. A recent study has found that each individual's breathing pattern is as distinctive as a fingerprint. Researchers in Israel at the Weizmann Institute of Science utilized wearable devices to monitor nasal breathing, and they were able to identify individuals with 96.8% accuracy simply based on their respiratory fingerprint, if you will. They also uncovered correlations between breathing patterns and various activities. For example, you breathe differently during rest than you do during exercise. Not only do you breathe more often, you breathe in a different pattern. Also, people with anxiety reported specific breathing characteristics during their sleep hours. Researchers are now exploring how these findings can be used for things like disease prediction and even potential treatments. So, yeah. Wow, pretty amazing research there. Here's something that may actually make you feel a little bit better. You've often heard the saying that money can't buy happiness, and it is true, but it turns out that good money management can. New research from the University of South Australia suggests that developing healthy financial habits, such as regular saving and timely payments on your credit cards and such, can improve your mental well-being. So money can't buy happiness, but the way you manage your money can. Study tracked over 20,000 people for more than two decades. So this is a pretty exhaustive study, and they found that individuals who consistently saved money and managed their credit scored higher on mental health assessments. And interestingly, men showed stronger mental health benefits as compared to women. I don't know why that would be, but that's what the research says. So very interesting. If you can't have a lot of money, at least manage the money you have well, and you'll be fine. That's basically what I read into that story there. And lastly here, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, I'm not going to make any comment on this. I'm just going to read you the story and let you make up your mind. Recent study from the University of Rochester finds that being brutally honest in your relationship can have significant benefits, even during challenging conversations. Researchers observed more than 200 long-term romantic couples, some married, some not, while they were discussing changes that one partner wanted the other to make. All right? Both expressed and perceived honesty led to improved emotional well-being, higher relationship satisfaction, and increased motivation to change immediately after the conversation. These positive effects, it says, persisted even 3 months later, with honest partners reporting better emotional well-being and perceived success in making the requested changes. The study, researchers say, emphasizes the importance of authentic communication in strengthening relationships, regardless of the communication style. The findings suggest that brutal honesty can enhance relationship dynamics in the long term. That's what they say. And, I mean, this is scientific research, so who am I to argue? You try this out yourself on your significant other, and you get back to me. Let me know how it works. I think I would be a little too... I know what the research says. I think I'd still be a little wary of trying it myself. Brutal honesty is a good thing? All right, if you say so. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Friday morning started. This is ONN.
I'm Jay Fox on the Ohio News Network. Israel has launched a preemptive missile strike against Iran, targeting their uranium nuclear enrichment facilities. The strike is being touted as a self-defense measure in light of the fact that Iran has continued to enrich uranium to near weapons levels, despite previous agreements to end the practice. The strikes have reportedly also killed key military leaders and scientists. Iran's retaliatory strikes against Israel have already begun. A shelter-in-place order is in effect for U.S. Embassy employees and their families in Israel. In southwest Ohio, demonstrators taking part in a neo-Nazi protest on a Cincinnati area overpass 4 months ago in the Lincoln Heights neighborhood will face no criminal charges following an investigation and careful consideration of possible charges. Sheriff Charmaine McGuffey and Prosecutor Connie Pillage both say the demonstrators were exercising their rights to free speech and were within the bounds of the law, expressing their righteous indignation and acting accordingly. Throughout the Buckeye State, several No Kings protests are planned for today and this weekend. Ralliers stand opposed to President Donald Trump's Flag Day birthday celebration in the nation's capital tomorrow, which will feature a tribute to the 250th anniversary of the founding of the U.S. Army and a military parade. Organizers of the protests say the president's anti-immigration actions and broad use of executive orders are actions of a monarch and not a president. For the Ohio News Network, I'm Jay Fox.
So what are you going to get Dad for Father's Day? Sure, you could go with the old standby, a new tie. You could go all out and get some sort of cool tech gadget. But what he really wants is something that you can't buy in a store. You can't wrap in a box. What Dad really wants is more time with the family. But a new survey finds that work and other responsibilities keep getting in the way. Greg Randolph is vice president of Dekt, which is a company specializing in storage solutions for work trucks and work vans. They have a manufacturing facility in Defiance, so right down the road. And Greg, work is not the only thing, obviously, but your survey finds that too many fathers are forced to choose between time with the family and bringing home a paycheck. What did dads tell you about some of the challenges that they are facing?
Right on, Chris. Thanks for having us on. You know, we did that survey, and I don't think the results are that surprising, but turns out about 65% of dads out there say they've missed a significant life event with their families because of work. And then, you know, 60% of them felt that more paid time off or flexible work hours would dramatically improve their ability to be more present. And I think that really showed us that the coolest thing we could do for Father's Day, rather than trying to your point, sell a tie or a pair of socks, is give some time back to the family. And so dad time off is a way for us to pay 100 dads out there this Father's Day to spend a day off with their family so they can be present and connect and spend that time that they probably were missing because of some work complications or interference.
So, yeah, I think this is really cool. Tell us about the dad time off initiative. This is like paid time off, but dad time off.
Absolutely. Well, it's Father's Day, and the products we make are really used by, you know, hardworking blue-collar men and women out there to make work safer, faster, and more efficient out of pickup trucks and vans, like you mentioned. And so that's sort of the promise of this brand is, you know, we give people time off day after day with the products we make, but doing something that really shows like, hey, you know, take some time, be present, and we're going to put our money where our mouth is. And so we're going to pay you to take a day of paid leave on us from your job to spend some time with your family. And that's really where it came from. And to sign up, all people have to do is go to Dekt, DECKED.com/DTO. That's dad time off. Or just go to our homepage on Dekt.com. You'll find a link there that'll take you to the submission form. It's really easy, super fun. You'll fill in a few fields there with names of the father and, you know, your contact information. Then you get down to business, and it's really a nomination. So you want to go on there and tell us why the dad in your life needs a day of paid time off. And then we'll collect all those submissions. And the window to apply is open past Father's Day to June 27th.
Okay.
And at June 27th, we'll start compiling these and have a look and announce the winners in July.
So who can be nominated? Is this open to any dad?
Yeah, any dad out there. You can even nominate yourself. I mean, I know if I didn't work for the people with the contest, I'd go nominate myself. My dad's retired, but you know, I would love a day off with my kids.
I was going to say, as a dad yourself, you can speak to the impact of missing those big family moments and the effect that that has.
Oh, absolutely. You know, can you imagine taking a day to go fishing during the week? Or you can think about the times maybe you missed a football game or a school recital or a play or something like that because you had to be at work, and having that, you know, peace of mind that you got this, you know, this chip in your pocket to take a day off is really one of those things that can help. Actually, you know, I think employers need to understand too that their employees are better workers when they're more connected and present with their families at home. When the home life is in a good place, they're a better worker.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, you know, that's the bigger point here, is to draw attention to the need for fathers to be home and be present with their families.
And you know, on that kind of philosophical, aspect of this, you know, we talk about the impact and the effect that this has, missing those family moments, as the survey alluded to. The impact is not just on dad, it's really on the entire family.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is as much for your wife as it is for your kids. Sometimes, you know, the wife just needs a break from the rats, and so sure, you can get a paid day off and take them to go do something, and she can have a chance to do something she needs to do. I think it's a, you know, it's a team effort, raising a family and being there. And so this really gives people the freedom to choose how they might use that time and address what the family needs.
And to your point, as you were mentioning a little bit earlier, this also speaks to employers and the kind of support that dads, especially blue collar dads, but really all dads need from their employers, what the support that they need from their workplaces.
Absolutely. I think that that's one of the big points here. You know, the survey results, you know, tell half the story. The other half of the story is when your employees are, you know, in a good place, we really encourage the people that work for us to take the time that they need, you know, to make sure that that family is family first. If your family's in a good place, mm-hmm. everything else falls into order, falls into line. And I think that, like, employers need to understand that their employees are people. And when those people are in a good place, they'll be better workers. And yeah. So it's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, and I know this is something that, you know, dads have heard many, many times. It really is true. As a dad whose kids are now grown and on their own, families of their own, I can tell you from experience that, you know, those are moments you don't get back. You don't get that time back, and you always have those times where you say, boy, I wish I was more present. I wish I was there. And even those times when I was there, sometimes I wasn't fully there because you're worried about work or you just can't, you know, fully turn it off. And so, again, talking about this larger issue, this is something that all dads need to remember. Employers need to remember, you know, all of that.
I think so. I think we're feeling, as a society, more economic pressure than ever in these last couple of years,
sure,
which isn't helping that situation. And so for us, we just want to give back a little bit of the success we have had to our customers and the people out there who are making the country work on time, or, you know, getting up early so the country runs on time, I should say.
Right.
And those kinds of things really matter. And I think that it is important to remember the family. And I think we know it, we see it, we read it, that a happy family is a happy life. And we really feel that that's an important value in the fabric of this country, and we want to support that.
Again, Greg Randolph is Vice President of DECT, the Dad Time Off Initiative, the DTO Initiative. You said folks can find more details on the website. Where do we go? And what is the deadline, again, to nominate a dad for this?
To apply for the Dad Time Off, you'll go to our website, and that's DECT, DECKED.com/DTO, like dad time off.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just go to the DECT.com homepage and you'll find the link there to apply. And this submission period is open past Father's Day until June 27th.
Okay.
At which time we'll close and we'll announce the winners in July.
Awesome stuff. We will put a link on our webpage so folks can find it there too. I think it's a great idea and something we need more of. Greg, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Happy Father's Day.
Hey, Chris, thanks a bunch. Same to you. Appreciate you having us on, and thanks for everyone who's listening, and let's go Ohio.
Well, surveys say that 3 out of 4 Americans are planning a road trip this summer. And joining us this morning is Michael Theo with the General Insurance to talk about what every driver needs to know before hitting the road. Michael, what should we be checking on under the hood even before pulling out of the driveway?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend that you be proactive in situations like this. You're going to want to give your car a quick once over. If you have a local mechanic, or maybe you have a friend or a family member who knows a little bit about cars, bring your car to them, have them check out anything that could cause a potential breakdown. That could be things like your oil levels, brakes, tires, wipers. Typically, I would recommend you do this a week or so ahead of time so that you can account for any servicing if needed. Mm-hmm. Also, I would highly recommend that you get a spare tire if you don't already have one, and you invest some time into learning how to properly change a spare tire. I can say from personal experience, I probably waited too long to learn how to properly do that. I found myself in a situation in my early 20s when I was on a small, quick road trip with my then girlfriend and now wife, where I had a flat tire and I had no idea how to change it. It was a very humbling experience. Yeah. So try to avoid that if you can. Yeah. It's going to save you a lot of time and stress.
Absolutely. And, you know, some vehicles these days don't even have a spare tire as standard equipment. So you may not even know whether you have one if you haven't bothered to check. So good tip there. What are some of the most common auto insurance? I mean, obviously, this is your realm of expertise. Auto insurance mistakes that can ruin road trips.
Yeah, we often see customers who don't fully understand what is or what is not included in their specific policy. So I encourage anyone to go to your policy and review what is or not included so you know what to expect. Also, learn how to file a claim. I'm going to quickly plug the General's app because for existing customers, the app is going to allow you to review your current policy. And also, it's going to allow you to submit a claim quickly through the app if needed. It's also a good idea to check whether you have things like roadside assistance, towing, or rental coverage included in your policy. Really, we don't think about these sorts of things until we need them, but it's really good to know ahead of time. We also, for example, we partner with Mission Safe Drivers, and they offer roadside assistance in select states. So that's one of those things that you should check for.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, really, we just want to make sure you get back on the road safely and quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make a good point to underscore this because a lot of people will not necessarily take their own cars. They'll rent a vehicle. So you want to make sure that you are covered in that respect. Anything else that folks might want to know before they rent a car or borrow someone's vehicle for a road trip?
Absolutely, Chris. I would say it's very important to check your specific insurance situation, whether you're going to rent or borrow. If you're borrowing a car, let's say, for example, you're going to have a friend's car during your road trip. Typically, you're going to be covered, but there are exceptions, so you want to confirm that prior to leaving. If you're going to rent a car, don't just assume that your policy is going to cover the rental. Most of the time it will, but you want to just confirm that. You want to avoid any situation where you're going to be driving and not covered.
Yeah. And then when we do set out on the road, are there some basic things that we should make sure we have with us, things that we should pack before we take any trip, really, regardless of how long it may be?
Definitely. And this can vary a little bit person to person, but I recommend that you pack an emergency kit. This can include things like jumper cables, a flashlight, first aid kit, water, and then my personal favorite, snacks. I spend a lot of time before any road trip packing the appropriate snacks. Also, this is not as common nowadays, but I would recommend that you bring a paper map or a compass, some kind of backup form of navigation. Mm. Listen, the reality is we're all very reliant and dependent on our phones nowadays. But what happens if your battery dies or you lose signal mid-trip? It's really good to have a backup form of navigation.
All really good advice and things that we want to take to heart as we set out on our summer road trips. Again, Michael Theo with the General Insurance with us this morning to help keep us safe on the road. Mention the website where folks can get more information.
Absolutely. If you need more information, I would highly encourage you to go to thegeneral.com. Our mission at The General is simple. We want to give people the break when they need it the most. And we've tried to tailor our tools and resources to be simple and fast. so that you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying things you like doing, like going on a road trip.
Which is what it's all about. Michael, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Kind of a light day in the broken news. It's more quality over quantity today. It's one of those days. And once again, sometimes you don't have to go very far. Find the broken news. This out of the Cincinnati area, where authorities are searching for the suspect who fled, or rather flew, from the scene of an area car crash earlier this week in the suburb of Blue Ash. Police say a cicada caused a serious accident after it buzzed its way through an open car window. You know, the cicadas are back this year in parts of Ohio. We don't have to worry about them, I guess, so much in this area. It's not the year for the brood that, you know, is in our area. But in southern Ohio, they got cicadas everywhere. And the driver was just tootling down the highway, minding his own business, cicada flew through the open car window, and while the driver tried to shoo the noisy nuisance away, ended up veering off the road, struck a pole, and overturned. Fortunately, no one was hurt. Police, though, noted that cicadas typically do not respect people's personal space and recommend that all drivers keep their windows rolled up, at least for the next few weeks. Wow! Cicada causing a traffic... ran off the road, struck a pole, and overturned. Thank goodness nobody was hurt. But can you imagine trying to explain that to your insurance company? Honestly, there was a cicada that caused me to drive off the road. That's... man. let's see. What else is going on? This from Indianapolis. So again, not all that far away. Jerome Stepp, who's an employee at a Family Dollar store in Indianapolis, has been arrested for shooting a man suspected of stealing merchandise from the store. it took place, let's see here, in Indianapolis earlier this week, I guess. Police got a call about a theft in progress. Shortly after the call came in, gunshots were heard at an intersection where the victim was found injured. Witnesses provided descriptions of the shooter and their vehicle, leading officers back to the store where Mr. Stepp and another employee that happened to be his fiance were identified as the assailants. So they actually got in the car, left the store that they were minding to track down the shoplifter, and Mr. Stepp shot him. He said, in his own defense, he fired warning shots to recover the stolen merchandise, resulting in the thief dropping it, and then he was accidentally hit by the second shot, according to Mr. Stepp. By the way, he shot him in the buttocks. Got him in the backside. Stealing from a dollar store, and that seems very extreme. For how much could they have possibly gotten away with at the dollar store, you know? But hey, you know, if you're going to lead a life of crime, you run that risk. So, but it's Mr. Stepp who is in trouble with the law. This from Detroit, again, not all that far away. Asa Outerbridge discovered recently that there is a time and place for everything, and a court hearing is neither the time nor the place to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This is the story. Ms. Outerbridge was called for a virtual court hearing to address a misdemeanor charge. The story doesn't say exactly what the charge was. It was a misdemeanor, something minor, and it wasn't a physical court appearance. They're going to do it online, you know, one of those Zoom hearings and all of that. So she had been on hold waiting for the hearing to begin for 2 hours. Now, mind you, this is the same day when her daughter was home feeling a little under the weather. And so she, because she was waiting for so long, she decided to make a PB&J for her daughter because it was right around lunchtime. Well, wouldn't you know it, as soon as she started making the sandwich, that's when the hearing started. And then to make matters worse, she had forgotten that she had just put on a robe. She hadn't actually gotten dressed yet, which, of course, is not exactly court-appropriate attire. Neither her wardrobe choice nor her culinary activities sat well with the judge. Ms. Outerbridge says the ironic thing is that she works as a personal stylist, and so she is using her experience to inform others about the various styles that one could wear to court and should wear to court, how to present yourself, and how you can not be caught making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. She says, you don't want to do that. That's embarrassing. Judge was very understanding. I don't think the judge cited her for contempt, but the judge did give her a stern tongue lashing for her. But I mean, hey, she was on hold for 2 hours on the virtual meeting and her child was feeling unwell. I can understand. Hope the judge cut her a break. And finally, in the broken news this morning, police in South Carolina were involved in an unusual pursuit, and this happens from time to time. We have these stories in the broken news where people will steal unusual vehicles and very odd police chases will ensue. This unusual pursuit involved cops chasing a tractor excavator down a major highway for an hour, for over an hour, at a speed of 3 miles an hour. Somebody stole an excavator. This slow speed chase took place early Sunday morning in North Charleston, South Carolina. Officers initially spotted the construction equipment crossing U.S. Highway 78 around 3:30 a.m. And later, so they observed the excavator crossing the highway at 3:30 in the morning on a Sunday and thought, well, that's odd. And then later they received a burglary call from a business, from a construction business. And that's when they kind of put two and two together. Victims of the burglary reported that they said that somebody had observed an excavator slowly moving away. So obviously they put two and two together and hey, we just saw them crossing the highway. Multiple police cars joined in the pursuit at 3 miles an hour. Multiple police cars. Cruisers actually had to periodically stop to avoid overtaking the excavator. They actually had to stop so that they wouldn't overtake the stolen vehicle. The chase concluded after 1 hour and 12 minutes when the excavator became stuck on the property of the Charleston County Fairgrounds. The story goes on to say the driver attempted to flee on foot, which probably was faster than trying to flee on the excavator. He probably could run faster than he could drive. But he was apprehended by a police canine unit, and he is now in jail facing charges. They actually had to stop periodically during the chase so they didn't overtake the criminal. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom, the open road, really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news, and the statistics that shape our lives. So today is Friday the 13th, and a recent YouGov survey of 1,000 U.S. adults finds that 19% of Americans believe that Friday the 13th brings bad luck. 19%. So it appears that not very many of us, the vast majority of us, actually put no stock in the whole Friday the 13th thing. Not very many of us worry very much about Friday the 13th. But that's not to say that we aren't superstitious as Americans. Among the bad luck superstitions that we believe more readily than Friday the 13th, walking under a ladder, breaking a mirror, and the number 666 all scored higher than Friday the 13th in terms of harbingers of bad luck. And there are, interestingly, quite a few good luck omens that we believe more so than Friday the 13th brings bad luck. The harbingers of good luck that are more prevalent than Friday the 13th being bad luck: making a wish while blowing out your birthday candles, seeing a shooting star, saying bless you when someone sneezes, which I always thought that that was just, you know, a matter of courtesy, not either good luck or bad luck. But I guess a significant number of people see that as a sign of good luck. Knocking on wood, seeing a rainbow, four-leaf clovers, finding a penny heads up, and crossing your fingers for good luck. All of those scored higher than 19% in terms of omens of good luck, or harbingers of good luck. So clearly we are still relatively superstitious. In addition to that, 12% of Americans in this survey said that they always wear or carry a lucky charm with them. Always. 12%. 19% occasionally will do that. 64% never do. So again, not a majority, but a significant number of us are at least superstitious to a certain point. And then they broke all of the data down by a number of different metrics. For example, the groups who are most likely to say that they have a superstition, the groups that are most likely to admit that they are superstitious to one degree or another: Catholics, people between the ages of 30 and 44 years old, people with a family income of $100,000 or more. 35% of those with a family income of $100,000 or more admit that they are superstitious. That surprised me. I would have guessed that people, rich people, would be too smart for that. You know what I mean? But yeah, they are more likely to be superstitious than other income groups. People who live in cities and people who live in the Northeast geographically are the most likely to be superstitious in the Northeast. Well, you know, they went through the Salem witch trials, so I guess that makes sense. Republicans, slightly more likely than Democrats to be superstitious. 30% of Republicans admit that they have a superstition, 29% of Democrats, and just 22% of independents admit to having a superstition. Women, more likely than men to be superstitious. 30% of women admit to believing in a superstition, at least one, 23% of men. And white Americans, more likely than African Americans to be superstitious, 27% to 21%. So some of the breakdown demographically there from this YouGov survey. So happy Friday the 13th, right? Once again, my wife Kyra has joined us in the studio with another collection of recipes from Kyra's kitchen. And these are, I guess you could call them recipes, especially for Dad. I know these are some of my favorites.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You really like Swedish meatballs.
Yeah, I don't know what recipes for Dad is actually all about, what that would entail.
Yeah,
but
I don't either. You know. I mean.
Well, how about this? We could say these are easy enough that Dad could make them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he could, but Mom's supposed to make.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That but would be Mom more cooks all the time, thing, so
anyway.
Maybe they just go out to eat.
That's what we could have done. Recipes for Dad. Reservations. Thank you.
There you go.
And
all
good
done.
Night.
Yep. All done today.
No, these are some good recipes, and these are some of my favorites. Beginning with a twist on the Swedish meatballs.
Yes.
I love Swedish meatballs.
Yes.
This is a bit of a twist. It is a Swedish meatball tortellini bake.
Yes. Yeah, we had this earlier this week, and it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good warmed up, too. So one 19-ounce bag of frozen tortellini, one 26-ounce bag of frozen meatballs, 3 tablespoons of butter, 3 tablespoons of flour, a half a cup of beef broth, 1.5 cups of milk, 1 teaspoon nutmeg, 1 tablespoon Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper to taste, and 1.5 cups of mozzarella cheese. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Lightly grease a 9x13-inch baking dish with nonstick cooking spray and set it aside. Boil a large pot of salted water and cook the tortellini for about 2 minutes less than the package instructions, because then you're going to bake it also.
Right. So not quite as long as what the package would say.
Okay. Yes.
Very good.
Drain and set aside. Melt your butter in a saucepan. Once melted, whisk the flour in to make a roux. Add your beef broth and your milk. Whisk that all together, and it's going to start thickening up. Then add your nutmeg, your Worcestershire sauce, your salt and pepper. Mix that all together. Then add your meatballs. Let the sauce simmer until slightly. It's going to thicken up more,
mm-hmm.
about another 10 minutes or so.
Okay.
Then spread half of the tortellini evenly in the bottom of the baking dish. Then pour your sauce evenly over the tortellini. Then add the rest of your tortellini and the rest of your sauce. And then sprinkle that with cheese. Bake in your preheated oven until the cheese is melted and bubbly, about 25 minutes or so. Let the casserole rest for about 5 minutes and enjoy.
Okay. So the Swedish meatball tortellini bake is our featured recipe, our main course.
Yes.
On the side, we've got hot honey butter cornbread poppers.
Yes. So this is 1 cup of cornmeal, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 1/4 cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 cup of butter melted, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/4 cup of hot honey, and 1 cup of milk and 2 eggs. So preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Spray mini muffin tin with cooking spray. In a large bowl, combine the cornmeal, flour, sugar, baking powder, and salt. Then in a separate bowl, mix the melted butter, the hot honey, the milk, the vanilla, and the eggs. Pour the wet ingredients into the dry ingredients. Stir until everything is just combined. Spoon the batter into the muffin tins, filling each about 3/4 of the way full. Bake 15 to 20 minutes or until a toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean. I also do the thumb press.
Mm-hmm.
Press your finger or your
back.
If it bounces back, you're good to go. Allow the poppers to cool for just a few minutes, and then take them out of the tin and enjoy.
Okay. So here's the question that I have with the hot honey butter cornbread poppers.
Yes.
If you are not big into hot stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm just not big into hot stuff.
Yes.
That's just not my thing.
Yeah.
Would you do the same thing with just regular honey?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no difference.
Nope, difference.
If you don't like hot.
Yeah, just use regular honey.
Just regular honey.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that would be good.
Yeah.
That would be good. And then for dessert, got a little treat for Dad. These are toffee brownie cookies.
Yes. Yeah. So I made some of these and taking them along this weekend to share with my daddy. My daddy. So one 16.3-ounce box of brownie mix, 1 cup of flour, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of butter melted, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, 1/2 cup of chocolate chips, and 1/2 cup of toffee pieces. So line a baking sheet with parchment paper and preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Pour the brownie mix and flour into a large mixing bowl. Add the egg, the melted butter, the vanilla, and mix well with your electric mixer on low for 2 to 3 minutes. Fold in the chocolate chips and the toffee pieces using a cookie scoop, or just if you don't have a cookie scoop, it's fine, a regular large spoon, and scoop your batter and place the cookie dough balls directly onto the baking sheet. These are not going to spread too much, so you can about an inch or so apart.
Okay.
Bake for 10 to 12 minutes. Remove the cookies from the oven. Immediately sprinkle with some more of your toffee pieces.
And so then they let them settle in before cool off and set.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then let them cool for a few minutes on the baking sheet. Then remove them from the baking sheet and place on wax paper to completely cool. Then enjoy. The cookies can be stored in a room at room temperature and an airtight container for 1 to 2 weeks.
1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you'll have these for a while. Not that they'll last 1 to 2 weeks, but
you never know.
They'll be gone by then.
Yeah.
So the recipes for the Swedish meatball tortellini bake, the hot honey butter cornbread poppers, and which is just fun to say, and the toffee brownie cookies are all posted on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page, right?
Yep.
At Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook for all of those recipes, and also linked up at our webpage at goodmornings.net. So some great recipes for Dad, or just great recipes, period, from Kyra's Kitchen. My wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Also, if you're a regular listener to the program, we'd appreciate it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. It helps others find the show as well. A quick note, there will be no podcast on Monday. Going to take a little extra R&R, an extended weekend. We'll be back with the next all-new podcast on Tuesday. So until Tuesday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.